Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavor? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Welcome everybody to China Business Cast number 64, and we are doing this in person. Shlomo's here from Israel. We finally meet again.
For the first time. Not meeting for the first time. In person for the first time.
First time recording together.
I'm in Mike's office here in Shenzhen, where the whole empire is run from.
Yeah, we'll put some pictures in the show and all of us together here. And it's great, man. I wish we could do this every time.
Yeah, well, I came for TechCrunch this time. That was another excuse to come to Shenzhen. TechCrunch has to happen every 2 weeks in order for me to come. So we need to speak with them.
Cool. Great. And yeah, TechCrunch, speaking of it, we're literally just finished. It was 4 days officially, but really we were at the main two, at least I was at the 2 days. There was a hackathon before, and then Monday and Tuesday this week was the official TechCrunch conference, right? Two full pack days, and we got a couple of great interviews, this being one, which we'll talk about in a minute. So
yeah, we did this yesterday, just yesterday.
2 days ago.
Oh, Monday. 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago. 2 days ago. Yeah, fresh from the oven.
Yeah, right for you guys. And also we're preparing tonight. We're doing recordings today and afternoon, and then we're going to have a meetup tonight for China Business Cast listeners. So Clayton, which we'll talk about in a little bit too, he helped us get a nice venue here, and it'll be a good group of people together. And
that's going to be our first meetup, and we hope to do others around the world, wherever the listeners are. It doesn't have to be with either Mike or myself. You're also welcome to open your own events and China Business Cast meetup for people who are interested in China and business. Tell us how it was. Send some pictures. We'd love to know about that.
Sure. Definitely keep us posted.
We also wanted to mention, we mentioned Clayton, and Clayton is helping us. He's our community manager. And recently, people who are at the WeChat group, he got in touch with you guys for a survey, and that was for a good reason, because we started doing something called facilitated networking. He's reaching out to people. And on that survey, we asked which people are you interested to meet, and also who you are. I mean, just a short description of what exactly you do. And Clayton is in charge of pairing you up, guys. So if you're getting a message from Clayton about on WeChat to add him, so please add him. There's a pairing coming afterwards, so that's for you guys.
Great. Yeah, so definitely. I know we get lots of WeChat messages and random people adding you, but if you see Clayton adding you, talk to him.
How I will mention how we add you to the WeChat group if more people want to join to that and facilitate networking.
Sure, of course. Adding our WeChat accounts is a great way. And then letting us know when you add us that it's China Business Cast, so that we know how you found us, and we can then add you into the group. So Shlomo, what's your username?
My username is Shlomo F. That's S-H-L-O-M-O-F.
Cool. And then mine is my last name, Michelini, M-I-C-H-E-L-I-N-I, which is getting kind of full, and everybody's joking to me about my out of control WeChat. But I will, if you say China Business Cast in the message, I will talk to you.
Oh, you're so kind.
Yeah.
About our guests. So today, again, we just interviewed them on Monday. Today is Wednesday. We interviewed John Artman from Technode and Matt Brennan from China Channel. Both of them has another brother podcast called
China Tech Talk, CTT.
And they interviewed us, by the way, at the same event, so you can listen to them as well, interviewing us on their podcast. I don't know when they're going to publish it, but we can find out. That was a really casual, great interview with four people. It's the first time we did it, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah, we're
really. So let's listen in.
Listen in, tune in.
Like the China Business Cast and want to get involved? We have special offers for supporters of the show, starting from just $1 and up. We have something for everyone. Check out all the different ways to engage at www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. That's www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. Thanks.
Hey everybody, so we are at the TechCrunch Shenzhen 2017 and we got a very special joint podcast episode. Mikey's here as always.
What's up? In person?
In person,
I haven't seen you in years, dude.
I'm totally jet-lagged and just arrived a few hours ago. And we have John Artman and Matt Brennan here, our sister podcast, let's call it this way.
Brother podcast.
So this time we're interviewing them on our show.
Great. So there's so much we can talk about. Of course, we have a room full of China experts here, but we want to focus today on media. Of course, there's TechNode with John and Matt runs China Channel. And of course, we have so much data here with everybody about ways to get this information to the users. I guess we would say mostly in the English language, what we said today.
Yeah, I mean, so technode.com, it's all in English.
Yep.
And then of course there, we have a Chinese website as well, but it's for a completely different audience, and I'm in charge of the English.
Okay.
Yeah, with China Channel, everything we do is in English. Actually, we've been thinking about flipping it into Chinese as well, because I think the quality of what we write is actually would gain an audience in Chinese as well. It would resonate, but obviously that's a process. It's a commitment. It's a cost to, you know, get that done. So it's something we might do. We've definitely talked about it.
Do you find the same quality of data on Chinese speaking website as the one you publish?
Really? Well, okay. So it's really interesting. It's for the, you know, we our content's all about China, right? So it's mostly about WeChat, but we actually do stuff. You know, we did a report about Apple recently, right?
So that was a very good one, really.
Yeah, and we put a lot of effort into doing that. So we like to think that our content is kind of high quality, and got so deep into WeChat stuff. Actually, I found it was very, very interesting because I follow all the niche blogs in Chinese in this area. There's a lot of them, really, really small things, just run by individuals. KOLs, as it were, like micro KOLs, and so you know, there's tons of them, and they're really good, but they're very focused on a Chinese audience. If you don't read, obviously you've got to read Chinese. They're just individuals posting this content. But what I found is actually, I've over time reached a level where I feel my content is you know, as good as theirs, if not, you know, in some ways better, and I'm just as fast as them. So a lot of this stuff, especially with WeChat and in the China sort of ecosystem for content, for media, it's super fast. It's unbelievably fast.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, there can be a news item happen, and within half an hour, there's articles out on WeChat everywhere about it. Like, I remember specifically there was one time where, remember WeChat? I think it was last year when they had the blurry photos. Do you remember
that?
Yeah.
You had to do something to...
They just suddenly, like, overnight, they just... Moments became... They put this new feature on Moments on the news feed where, yeah, you could put a photo... Upload a photo on there like normal, but you could make it blurry and people had to pay, like, a microtransaction to unblur it and actually see the picture. And when that happened, it was, like, unbelievable. Like, all of the official accounts, like, posted about it. It was, like... almost every single Chinese account that I followed wrote an article about it, some of them within like 5-10 minutes after it happening. And within like 2 hours, like just my subscription news feed just filled up all with articles about it. They were just so fast.
Well, that's the thing. So I mean, again, I do take it in English, but you know, our Chinese website is very much like that. I mean, so our Chinese reporters, They move so fast. And it's not just on WeChat, but just tech news in general. You want to get it out as quickly as possible. And it's really kind of interesting because there's also this thing where they'd like to do is to, if it's an exclusive thing, they make sure that you know it's exclusive. Or if they're the first ones to publish something, they make sure inside that headline to say that it's exclusive or that it's or that they're the first ones to actually publish this one. So it's anyhow, 我们现在在录音呢. 麻烦你.
And so
it actually is really interesting. But on the flip side, for like Tech Note English, we're actually a little bit slower. Again, because our audience is just so different. Because when it comes to like fast breaking news, you know, we let TechCrunch do that. We let other English language media do that because we don't want to compete. And so what we end up doing is providing slower kind of stories that you wouldn't find anywhere else in English, or an analysis or a perspective that you're not going to find in other media because we're on the ground. Yeah.
So I think the question a lot of people ask is, you have official accounts on WeChat and you have websites. I'm sure you publish on both the same content, or I mean, this is I guess the big focus really is balancing your official account away or your website.
Well, I mean, so for us, we do both, but we're web first. We're web first, and mostly because 35 to 40% of our traffic comes from the U.S. 15 to 20% comes from China, and the rest is from Hong Kong, Singapore, Australia, and things like that. So we're web first because that's where people can find us. But then, of course, we do publish almost everything that on our website is and ends up getting published onto WeChat as well. But I can talk maybe a little bit about some of the lessons I've learned with that a little bit later. But there is a difference in some ways, kind of the strategy and the audience versus our website and our official account.
Yeah, I've always wondered, though, because everyone in China who reads English stuff uses a VPN. So, like, I always felt, I see those numbers as well, right? But how can you really know if the China number's true? Because nearly everyone uses a VPN, so they're going to show up in the States, even though they're in China, or wherever their VPN is set to. So that China number, you know, similar thing for China Channel, but I'm really suspicious always on the China number. Yeah, it's heavily skewed, for us anyway, I know it. I'd be very surprised if it's not heavily skewed. Yeah. And then in terms of the traffic, so when you compare WeChat to a website, the way the traffic works is just completely different. So on WeChat, again, it's super fast. You'll see the sharing cycle on an article. You'll get all your views within the first 24 hours, typically. And then after that, it just tails off. So whereas on a website, you've got Google, you've got organic traffic. So that article, if it works, if Google likes that article, then you're going to see traffic from that for years.
But I just want to come back to the point about the VPNs. Actually, foreign habits with VPNs, if you're going to use a VPN, more than likely you're going to be choosing one from Japan, South Korea, or Hong Kong because it's actually going to be faster. In a lot of cases, you're not going to be choosing a server because actually so a lot of our traffic from the U.S. comes from California. And so you're not really going to be choosing a VPN server from California because it's actually going to slow things down. But you're right. I mean, some of our traffic, it might be a little bit mixed up. On the other hand, you know, 70 to 80% of our traffic is in English. And so like the system language is either ENUS or ENUK. Google Analytics is great for all this. It gives a lot of data because of that. But yeah, I mean, but going back to your point about SEO and Google and Baidu, it's actually amazing because one of our best performing articles, even in the first 6 months of this year, our best performing articles is one that was written in 2014 and one that was written in 2015. One was about the top Android apps in China. Another was about...
We recently redid a
post about that for 2017, so it was apps and then app stores in general, and then music apps there was a story by one of our former senior reporters, Tracy. She wrote a story about how the top five apps had 80% of the market share, and it's really interesting because people keep coming back to that and things like that. So it's really kind of cool because there is that long tail on your website where you get as with WeChat, you'll get this huge spike, and as soon as you publish, there's a huge spike in traffic to that post. But there is that long tail that basically lasts forever, depending on how relevant the content is and moving forward.
In WeChat,
And on the website.
On the website, yeah.
But yeah, WeChat is so hard to find it. Like, I have a WeChat official account, and I try to like let people find stuff, but it's just, you have the menus, but it's getting hard.
It's getting better though, because what they've allowed for some time is linking to other WeChat posts. But for a while, it was only WeChat posts that you own, so underneath your official account. Now it's really cool because you can actually link to other people's official accounts. And so if you have a content sharing agreement, if you have a link sharing agreement, now it actually works. And so what WeChat is creating is like, you know, an internet within an internet.
I mean, social search is, SEO has not really been a thing on WeChat, but increasingly you're getting lots of people talk about it now. So WeChat search index has opened up. They've got the new sort of search feature where it's actually not new, but it's just been moved so it gets more traffic. There's a couple, it's clear the direction is moving in that way, that they realize we need to make this a bit more like the open web, a bit more so that you can solve that problem of like high quality content can be found easily, which is traditionally quite a problem. Searching WeChat has for ages been terrible. And it is getting, they've made significant efforts. WeChat's got a new search division that's opened up. When you look at all the signals, it's very, very clear that they're going to make more and more efforts in that area, and it's going to change a lot.
Guys, I want to ask you a bit about, I mean, zooming out and talking about the big picture of who are you seeing as the leading tech website these days in China. I remember that in 2012, I wrote a blog post on Startup Guru about the five top tech websites in China in English. It's still one of the most read articles in Startup Guru. It's not the top one, but one of the most.
In English.
I think that some of the websites there are dead. Two of them were TechNode and Tech in Asia.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Back then.
Thank you.
Gotta add China channel.
You're alive in 2012.
Yeah, no, we've been around for a long time. That's actually one of our greatest strengths is our longevity.
Definitely. It is.
Yeah.
But things changed, and I wonder what you guys think now.
So let me update that blog post with some links.
Oh, okay.
For China tech-focused news.
In English or in Chinese?
In English. Yeah, I mean, definitely the top two would be TechNode and Tech in Asia, I think, because they just cover the area. They got people on the ground, right? And they're writing blog-style articles on a regular basis. They keep up to it. You know, just their style of writing it, it's obvious that those guys are close to the ground. Whereas when you move into sort of other, you know, the other media, they're sort of more global media. And for me, I feel their voice is very, very different.
Well, it's interesting too. I mean, so for me, because I'm a bit different from Matthew in a sense, where I'm a media worker. You know, my background is radio. My background is journalism. And so I'm always kind of paying attention to the big guys as well. And so for like very regular kind of stuff on the ground, there's us, there's Tech in Asia. But I would say one of like the people that I look up to in terms of like bigger media, one of the big ones is Lulu Chen at Bloomberg. She writes really, really good stuff about what's happening with technology in China. Also, the information there. So when the information first got started, they were almost all in Silicon Valley in New York City, very U.S. focused. But now they have like three people based out of Hong Kong, and their China coverage is getting really, really good.
Talking about Bloomberg?
No, the information. And Lulu Chen's based in Hong Kong as well.
What about the China Internet Watch? I think that was in my list back then as well.
No offense to China Internet. If they're the one I think you're talking about, they've got like a blue website, and they do lots of charts and stuff. They're not saying anything too bad.
Unfortunately, the non-Fong was really not so tech, but they shut down.
Well, the Nanfang was great because it's just local news, local information, kind of what the Beijinger was doing or what that Shanghai was kind of doing. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's not quite like tech focused.
Sure.
But it's funny because like I started doing media, tech media in China back in 2010, and at that time there was a lot more just amateur bloggers talking about what's happening in China.
Remember TechRice?
Yeah, TechRice was there. You know, Charlie Custer, you know, he was one of the first to really write about tech in China with China Geeks. I mean, he started off kind of like political human rights and stuff. But then he started doing some tech, and he started working for Tech in Asia. Actually, he doesn't do any writing very much anymore. He works mostly on video. And Stephen as well. Stephen Millward at Tech in Asia, he does a lot of video too.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because, you know, it's Stephen and Eva. I think they're looking for someone else now.
Yeah, that's been, I think I spoke to you guys, I spoke to other people, Eva as well, and everyone says it's really difficult to get quality coverage, quality journalism on the tech scene in China. I remember speaking to Tracy, and she said back in the day for Technode, like, they found it almost impossible to get good English language journalists, and now that's changed. Now it's much, much better than it was before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back in 2012, 2013, like, there was a stage where she was one of the only writers, I'm going to say Technode was Tracy at one point, but it almost was one person on their English language side anyway, because she couldn't find anyone. There is a shortage of like quality voices. I'm seeing a couple of writers on LinkedIn and stuff like that who are trying to do stuff, but it's odd pieces, and some of it I question. I don't agree with 100% of what they're saying, but then, you know, no one ever does, right? So it's,
are they on the ground people, or are they...
Because some of them, the ones I'm thinking of are,
So more on the marketing of content in China. We're talking about WeChat official accounts and websites. You mentioned, John, web. You're still web first.
Right.
I'd love to hear Matt's answer too later. But what's the typical, or what do you suggest, like a new person trying to market it to people in China? Like, I guess everyone still needs an official account.
Yeah, I mean, again, so for us, I mean, our audience for the website and for WeChat is actually quite different. And so we have, and it's the same content, but slightly different strategies. Because like when it's web first, you just publish and it goes up. And we have a mechanism to push things to the top of the page and to leave it there for a certain period of time. And so we do that with some stories. But in general, it's just, you know, just push it, publish it, and then it's there. Whereas WeChat with the official accounts, because we publish anywhere between 2 to 5 pieces every day, we're going to put almost all of those pieces onto our official account. And so then it's a question of, okay, how do you order it? Because more than likely, people are going to be looking at that first one, and then their attention is going to diminish as they go down. And so for us, we're always asking the question, what's going to be at the top? What's the story that's going to hook people in? Because again, like people who are coming to our site, they're in a lot of ways doing it as part of their job. Part of their job somehow is dealing with technology in China, and so they come to us for information. Whereas WeChat, in a lot of senses, it's more for entertainment. I recently did a survey on WeChat about when do people read WeChat articles, and a lot of it's 6 p.m. later. And so they're getting off of work, they're commuting, and so they're like, okay, I want to decompress, and I want something that's easy to understand, and that's kind of interesting and fun. And we don't always do that. So what we try to do is we're trying to put that interesting and fun thing at the top, and then like the less like, you know, light stuff kind of towards the bottom.
Founder of WeChat, Alan Jones, one of my favorite quotes from him is like, content for WeChat should be something that you can read on the toilet.
So lots of cat memes, basically.
Yeah, just something that you can read, you know, when you're taking the crap. So like nothing more than like 5 minutes, you know, that's what, because it's mobile, right? In China, it's mobile first, and people on mobile, you've got a small screen and you've got short attention spans. No one's going to read a novel on WeChat.
Five minutes is a lot. You see on your web, like people reading more than 5 minutes, even though, I mean, on web, no. 5 minutes is a lot.
Well, it depends how long your crap is, but like...
Like, I mean, content or...
Cat. It's a big cat. It might be a longer video.
No, actually, and again, this is what's great about Google Analytics. And so if you're not using it, I highly recommend it for your site, because they can actually...
Do you have an affiliate link?
Well, they should. But for me, it's been great, because when I first joined TechNode, I was looking at all this data, and noticed that our bounce rate, our average bounce rate, was actually a little like about 80%, which is okay for a blog. But then like time on page was about a minute and 10 seconds or so. And so that was quite discouraging. I'm like, oh crap, what's going on? Then if you look at it, if you actually look at per page, per post, I mean, we've had average time on page up to like 6 or 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because we have fairly long articles. They're in depth, they're well written, and they're compelling. And so people want to stick with that. But I think in WeChat, it is quite different. I mean, even for me, my own reading habits, like if I skim WeChat articles almost all the time, because I don't even really use WeChat for consuming business information. And if I want to, like, you know, just sit on the toilet, I look at memes, not WeChat.
John, it means that people don't read techno in the toilet.
Maybe they don't, but maybe that's a good thing. Because they're not associating us with bowel movements.
With, you know, being comfortable.
Right, well.
Yeah, and stuff on WeChat is more visual stuff, works better for sure. I mean, our articles. So, you know, the blog started off on WeChat, and then very quickly we flipped it onto the website. But it still is very WeChat centric. I mean, content's about WeChat, and a lot of our readership is on WeChat. So, you know, our content suits WeChat.
Most of your readership is from China, right?
No, I wouldn't say that anymore. Oh. I would say that it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be. And it's still very important, obviously. But now that's changed. So my point was, visual stuff works really well. You know, video works really well on WeChat. It's a short video. You know, heavy text. So articles, you know, if we're talking about Bloomberg, for example, or like serious media, global media, it's all text. It's just a, you know, pretty much one picture at your top. If you're reading an Economist article, right, you're going to have one picture at the top and it's all text. And then you might have one graphic with a chart. That's it. That works very badly on the chat. Yeah, very badly.
So you need a minimum of how many images? Like,
what's a good ratio?
No, you just need to break it up. Like, on WeChat, you'll see that people color, you know, there's all these little techniques, like I use them, like to color text.
Right.
You'll color, like, important words, right, and it just breaks it up visually. And you wouldn't do that on a website. People would think it's strange, right? If The Economist started, like, coloring keywords, you'd be like, what the hell's going on here?
Well,
like,
and actually, no, I think that's an interesting point, but it's like, so coloring text on WeChat is like bolding on the web. You know, so that's what we do in TechNote sometimes on the site. We'll bold some text, like to bring attention to it.
Sure.
Whereas on WeChat, we have a special orange color from our logo, and we use that color to highlight inside of WeChat.
That's exactly right. I've got two different colors that match the logo, and I use those to highlight stuff. And then you might even put little breakers in there that are graphics. You wouldn't use these techniques on your website. You know, it's actually a really, really interesting thing to analyze if you go and look at this, the differences in terms of formatting between WeChat and, you know, and a website, which you think would be very similar.
Right.
They're not. They're completely different. And when you think about, like, the titles that you use on WeChat, so WeChat, you really got a very, very short amount of space to grab someone's attention. Because the way that sharing works on WeChat is the title is super important.
Yeah.
It's, like, way more important than even, like, on Google, where you optimize your title for Google search. It's plugins for that for WordPress. Most people use them. And you'll be like, okay, I've got to get my copy underneath it. I've got to get my title optimized. That's important on Google, for sure. But on WeChat, it's 10 times more important.
Got it. Because people won't come back.
It's because, like, if you share something on Moments, the Moments newsfeed is where all the traffic comes from.
It's
You've
not.
Got one line.
But
that's
also,
it.
But also it's interesting because this is applicable for WeChat, but also other social platforms where, like, people, they make the decision to share the content, like, you know, 5, 10, 15, 30 seconds into reading the article. And so maybe they're like less than a third of the way through. They've only gotten like the first and second paragraphs, maybe third and fourth, and they're already sharing it.
Yeah.
And so the headline and then like that first bit of content for WeChat and for everything else is super important.
Yeah. I think that's important for all articles.
Yeah.
You know, I think about content a lot, actually, and increasingly I'm seeing other people who I've talked to about this, you know, with the rise of social media, and we were covering this on our podcast, you know, before, the rise of KOLs, right, the rise of, you know, live stream, all these different platforms. It's definitely moving in a direction where people have less and less attention, need to grab their attention quickly. And even for, like, you know, things like serious topics, you know, B2B context, you know, articles where you'd expect something long. People still read long quality articles, but you definitely need to grab people's attention. You know, it's changing. People's attention spans are changing. They need to recognize this. They need to grab it early on.
So to summarize, cat video text. Oh, no. Something about cats in the title. Sentence, cat video.
Highlighted in orange.
Yellow text, orange text.
But also, I think it's I just thought of this, but I think it's actually really interesting because people on WeChat like to read about WeChat. And so it gets really meta in some ways. So maybe a better headline would be like cats on WeChat, or you know, everyone on WeChat loves cats, or something like that. Or here's this crazy video of a cat using WeChat.
I think it's happening in the Western world. I mean, in the regular internet too, this attention spans. I think there's similar trends, I would say.
What would happen if the China channel was not on WeChat at all, but talking about WeChat? If your business China channel was not doing anything on WeChat, but it was about WeChat, that would be really weird.
That would be strange, right? That would be strange. Actually, for Chinese readers, the content that does best is this stuff called jitang, like this chicken soup. It's like a very Chinese phrase that's a little bit difficult to explain to people who are not familiar with Chinese culture, I think.
But it comes from the chicken soup for the soul books that were originally published in English, right?
Yeah, so those books, they're super popular in China. All the major bookstores have this like series of books called Chicken Soup for the Soul, and they're actually from the States, right? They're actually kind of religious in some way, aren't they?
They can't.
Yeah, they're very Christian in terms of their sort of undertone.
Yeah.
You know, they're very like cheesy stories.
They make you feel good.
Yeah, they make you feel good. Right?
So it's funny too because it's really. Older people end up liking that much more than younger people. Whereas in Chinese, there's this phrase "tuzao," so it's to really complain about something. And so when I was working at CRI, I was working with a lot of young people. They were always complaining about these like chicken soup for the soul stories and things like this.
Yep. Old people love them.
Yeah,
they'll share them like crazy. Yeah.
So I'm afraid we confused our listeners a little bit because. I mean, I think on the internet, you guys write really both of your, you know, both these blogs or all of us try to have quality, in-depth stories like your podcast, which are earlier, and others, and blogs. It seems like WeChat's the opposite. It's short, funny, and shareable. So I guess it's two content strategies, or are you still publishing similar content? Or?
I mean, for us, again, the content is basically the same. That's not ideal. That's where we are. And that's not how we're going to stay. It's just that's kind of where we are. And I joined TechNode in November, and since then it's my focus has been to build our content, and our next step is to bring someone on board who's very savvy with social, and who can help us push past, you know, kind of, because like there's only so much organic growth you can get just from purely publishing, right? And so we've been focusing mostly on that for now. The next step is really going to be figuring out how do we optimize for different social platforms, and of course we're going to include WeChat.
Yeah. Each platform has its own sort of like things that work, little tricks, things that work, and it's all to do with how the content's shared, how it spreads, you know, and the format that it's read in. These have huge, huge impacts. Like I was speaking to someone the other day. Literally on Weibo, there's, and also I'm seeing this in memes in general, like there's this new format of like long form images that are getting more and more popular. So you open the image and it only works on mobile. And if you do this on desktop, it just looks horrendous, like because the image is so long. And it's almost like a cartoon strip is often how it's done. But you know, it's done a lot for memes and jokes. But this form of doing that, you know, increasing number of KOLs are using this format and exploring how to, you know, how to work with format. And I think formats are really, really important, even for content. And so that kind of stuff won't work on, something like LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn is most, a lot of people, that's a, given how the newsfeed works, and it's mostly actually a lot of people use desktop because they're using it at work.
Right.
That's going to be horrible.
Yeah. So Mike, we're at about 25 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, just trying to control for it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, we're talking about 45 minutes.
Okay, guys, I want to, let's move away a bit from media. Let's talk a bit about conferences in China, specifically tech conferences. We got a lot of conferences experience here. And perhaps we just talk about the top conferences as we see them. I'm sure we each have its own view of what's the best one they think of, what is more catered for local Chinese crowd versus international coming to China. What do you see in each one of those? Let's talk about that. Matt, we'll start with you.
Sure. Well, we'll start where we are today, TechCrunch. So, yeah, I think TechCrunch is obviously, I'm surprised actually today, because I've been to two TechCrunches. One was in Shanghai last year, and now I'm here in Shenzhen. And TechCrunch is in Beijing as well. But the one I went to in Shanghai, the content in terms of like the talks and the panels was nearly all Chinese that I saw. Whereas here today, everything that I've caught so far has been mostly in English. I haven't caught as much as I want to, actually. I've been mostly networking. I was quite surprised by that. And the hackathon yesterday, it was like, you know, everything worked in English. So it was quite international here,
yeah.
I feel, quite international. I mean, when you go to conferences up in Beijing, Beijing especially, but also, you know, Shanghai is very international. So every city, you know, these major hubs in China, that for me, they have very, very different ecosystems, very different feelings. If you go to something in Shanghai, it's going to be international. It's going to expect English, right, if you're in Shanghai. But if you're going to a conference in Beijing, and you're not going to expect English. Don't go there expecting English because you're probably not going to get it. So you've got to make sure that conference has SI. Otherwise, you're going to be really lost if you don't speak good Chinese.
But here's a question. So my, quote-unquote, home conference was GMIC for a few years.
Right.
And also GMGC. And they are very Chinese-like, Chinese-oriented. Not a lot of international audience or international crowd. And to me, it felt that if you really want to understand the Chinese tech scene, you have to be there. I mean, you have to communicate, obviously. You have to find your ways to understand what's going on. But if you really want to understand, that's the place to go.
Well, and it's funny. So speaking of conferences, of course, there's also Max Conference, China Channel. Unfortunately, I haven't been, but
I was there last year.
Yeah. And chat. but every time I hear someone talk about it, they say really, really great things.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to getting the chance to see
it. We've got two now.
I'm behind on organizing that one. Yeah.
September
21st, 22nd. So and then we want to do WeChat Hackathon 23rd, 24th. Okay. So like kind of, yeah, I have to do it. Yeah, and it's just so much work.
In Shanghai.
But the thing is, so for TechCrunch, actually, most of our conferences are about two-thirds Chinese, one-third English. And one of the reasons that it is international, more international, I think, than some other conferences, is because, you know, TechNode works directly with TechCrunch to organize this. And so we have TechCrunch reporters coming here. And so, of course, we want to create content that's interesting for them, that they want to publish about, that they want to write about, that they want to talk about. And that's actually very different from what even us at TechNode sometimes want to talk about, because we're here, we're on the ground, we see it everywhere. Whereas like for them, like, oh my God, my mind is blown by all this stuff. And so there is that difference. But I guess, you know, when it comes to other conferences, I'm not the best person to ask, because I'm actually not a big fan of panels and of fireside chats and stuff like that. For me, it's just, maybe I too much ADD or something, where if someone starts talking at me at a stage, I usually open my laptop and start looking at emails. I start processing emails or something, you know, because it's a bit
maybe it takes too much like cognitive effort. What I really prefer when I come to conferences is talking to other people.
Yeah. I'm with you, John. Yeah. That's what I do.
And so that's the thing, because value. Also for conferences in China, like, you know, like today we had OFO, we had DD, we're going to have Indiegogo tomorrow. We're going to have Kick and some really, really big names. But if they're a Chinese representative of a large company coming to a public event, more than likely they're highly trained on how to speak with media. And they've come here with rehearsed talking points. And you're not always going to get that much insight. You might get a data point here or there. You might get a glimpse of kind of like, oh, okay, this is the direction they're going in. Or maybe like a glimpse of like, this is a product they might announce soon. But in general, it's very, very tight. It's very, very controlled. And the real story, again, is the networking. Talking to people like you guys coming down here and saying, you know, what are you seeing? What's going on? And sharing experience and sharing knowledge that way.
It's always like the drinks at the after party as well, like the real value
happens. The dinner later on.
Always. Yeah.
And I think it's true anywhere in the world, but I think especially in China, there's always the quote blanchi word that's used too much, or relationships, but it's true, right? I mean, we've all talked to each other online, but I think by meeting people face-to-face, and like Shomo said, with going to a Chinese language conference, I've done the same. When I first came here, I had no idea how to speak Chinese, and I would go, and I would be like the only foreigner.
Yeah.
And a lot of Chinese speak English. Maybe their speakers aren't speaking English, but I built a pretty good network just by being there and in a hallway and trading name cards. And you get some pretty high level people because you're like the only foreigner.
Yeah, that's what I am when I go to the Tencent conferences. Yeah. I'm literally the only foreigner in the room.
Yeah.
That's happened to me loads. Yeah.
John, you mentioned that, the way that you speak about the conferences, it's like, what's happening on the stage is more of entertainment than information.
Well, I think also, conferences perhaps are not designed for people like me. I mean, like, if I'm getting bored, that probably means I'm not the target audience. And so again, it's like a fish swimming in water. I mean, you ask them about their life, they're not going to tell you about the water. And so I think that a lot of times what happens is it's like what they say on these panels, it's like water to me. Where it's stuff that I'm already fairly familiar with, and it's not really new information. Like tomorrow, you know, I'm hosting two panels, which I'm really excited about. And what I love about hosting panels, it's very different. What I love about hosting panels is that I get to talk to these people, and like it's like doing an interview. I love doing interviews.
You don't break out the laptop. Exactly. You're not sending emails.
No, exactly.
You check them for you while you're there.
Right, and so it's one of those things, like it's kind of hypocritical in one sense, I'm a horrible audience member. But I love being a moderator of these panels because it's like doing a normal interview. Yeah. And that's what I love about my job, is talking to people.
It's great.
Yeah, I remember when I was, someone said to me a long time ago that trainers make the worst trainees.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So they're always like, you're doing it wrong. You're not training correctly.
Yeah.
Don't worry, robots are going to take our jobs soon. AI.
Yeah. Guys, I think we need to finish. So this is the time that you're telling us what's the best way to reach you out to reach out to you.
Well, since Matt just stuffed his face with cake.
that's another benefit of a conference.
We're in the VIP.
It's a good cake, guys.
So the best place to find me is on technode.com. You might not actually see my name all that often because I'm the managing editor, which means that I'm the gatekeeper for all of our content. But that also means that I don't necessarily
keep the relationship with John. You really have to.
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah. So I'm more of the gatekeeper. So I'm in the back end, kind of saying, okay, we're going to write about this, and then editing and then publishing it. But I'm also on Twitter at knows nothing, and of course you can find my voice on China Tech Talk, the podcast that Matt and I do.
Yeah, and for me, you can check my website, chinachannel.co. I am on Twitter and on LinkedIn and on WeChat, obviously. That's about it, really. Those are the platforms I'm active on.
What's the podcast domain name?
Our podcast?
No, your podcast domain name.
The podcast.
We don't have a podcast. Podcast domain name.
How can people find your podcast?
Through the podcast app.
Search.
What? Hang on. No one can find it.
Nobody listens. Well, I mean, If you're really interested in domain, you can go to chinatechtalk.libsyn.com.
Okay.
But we publish techno.com.
Yeah, we have a website and on the feeds of iTunes and Stitcher.
And also we're on Techno. So China Tech Talk, and we'll link it on the show notes as well.
Yeah,
and we were, so today is a, not really a series, but you can also hear our interview on their show. We still got to figure out scheduling and stuff, but we'll definitely help cross promote these.
It's like a two-part of, right?
So let's talk about your podcast. So it's Tech, China Tech.
Yeah.
Maybe what kind of people should
It's actually funny because when I first approached Matt, I actually wasn't very familiar with him, and so I noticed that he was posting a lot of WeChat content. And so I originally pitched him this idea of doing like a discussion show about WeChat on a weekly basis. And I think that, you know, as we talked about it, you know, it became very clear that we can't do WeChat every single week. And there's so much more to talk about in China than there is. And so now we do a broad range. We started off talking a lot about bike sharing. We've done some stuff about WeChat and the mini programs. And right now we're right in the middle of a series about KOLs in China, and mostly as it pertains to live streaming.
And I think we're trying to take that approach of going deep on topics. So for example, for influencers, KOLs, it's not just one podcast, it's three. So it's like a series with three different viewpoints, an actual KOL, someone from marketing expert in this area, and then like a sort of tech analyst from Tencent and Sardinia. And that's really how we want to approach each subject. So, you know, later on, we'll probably cover things like maybe Bitcoin, for example. That's huge in China. Most of the world's Bitcoin is mined in China, and so there's a lot to talk about there. We'll be here in TechCrunch interviewing a couple of people tomorrow with different stories. But we want to go deep. You know, China Tech is just so amazing. There's just so much to talk about. It's crazy, and it moves so fast. We do talk about WeChat a lot, but you know, WeChat's just one part of the China Tech ecosystem.
But also that's the thing, and one of the reasons that we want to go in depth is because there's really not enough in depth coverage of what's happening here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do what we do on Techno, and we try to be fairly fast. But the problem is that when you go fast, you sacrifice depth, and there's a lot of news out there. So again, like the information, Bloomberg, all this stuff, they do some really good China coverage, but in terms of audio content, there's really not enough. Where we're just gonna choose a topic, it's not about marketing tips, it's not about how to grow your business. It's literally information about what's happening, and maybe as a listener, you can find the application later. But here, we're just here because we want to present this information to you. Because at the end of the day, we find it fascinating.
Definitely. So thanks, guys, for joining the podcast and family, and hopefully keep supporting each other in the future.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Cool.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry. China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.